What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Rat-a-tat-tat, bing, bang, ba-doodly-boom.
Why? Why are noises just...
I don't know, like, man.
They're funny.
Yeah, well, that's why we do it.
Jason's
trying to rate
score.
My
You're actually going
to
score it?
I'm going to score it. I think that was an 8. I think that was actually pretty darn good, Andy.
Did you like that I didn't end with my traditional?
I was waiting for the bingy, and then it was poon?
I think I went poom.
Poom?
I wanted to go boom, but, you know, things happen.
It's too basic. You got to poom.
Got to poom. Welcome into the Spitballers episode.
I had to poom earlier.
That's, you know, every day. You're very regular.
Thank you.
This show is not very regular. It's very strange, and we have done 283 of them.
Wow.
And for some reason today, that number is hitting me like... we're going to get to the point where there is a show that we have done for every day of a year. Like, we're approach, you know, like 365, you can listen to the entire catalog. That's a lot of shows.
That's a lot of really good shows.
Yeah, spectacular content.
Just real funny, real good advice.
Yeah, I mean, we teach a lot and we let people laugh.
We have life advice on the show today. We are also actually drafting gifts to give your enemy's children.
Unlike last week. Well, I was pretty confident that's what we were drafting last week, and I got hoodwinked.
We definitely are doing it
this week. Oh, no. Now I'm worried.
It's the more things that are metal draft.
Oh, no, no worries. I'm on infinity lock with that.
We have Would You Rather to start it off as well. Please tell your friends about the show. That's the number one way you can help us grow. And 1B would be to leave us a review. Make sure you click that follow button on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you're listening. Let's kick it off.
Would you rather?
Braden from Patreon. Would you rather be best friends with a famous athlete or a Hollywood celebrity? So perks-wise, I think it's, you know, you're going to go to
similar.
All the big games.
Yes. Well, I think you can go to the...
You think you can go to the parties? You can go to the festivities? I mean, the Hollywood celebrity, to me, they get to go to every one of the big events. And that seems very fun. You know,
you think a famous athlete wouldn't get invited?
To the Oscars? No. I don't think you're a famous athlete, you're going to the Oscars. Unless you're dating one of the Hollywood celebrities.
I think you could.
You
can make it happen. That's just my guess.
Like Michael Jordan could have gone to the Oscars.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're that famous.
Yeah. But are you bringing your best friend? You know, if you're that famous, they're not bringing you.
Okay.
I mean, your best friend? If you're the best friend
of
a famous person.
Think about all the famous people at the Oscars. They're not there with their best friend.
Right.
They're there with whoever they're dating.
But their best friends do go to the games.
For sure.
So you got front row tickets and you're at every... sporting event. You can travel, probably.
You're probably not bringing
on the team plane.
You're not bringing who you're dating to the game. You know what I mean? You're bringing your best friend.
I just like the idea of sneaking your best friend on the team plane.
If you're a best friend of a Hollywood celebrity, you are definitely getting some extra roles.
Oh, that's
like
a good
bread?
Point. No, that's
not bread.
Oh, that
not extra
great.
Roles,
Sorry.
Mike.
That was pretty bad.
That's not a good joke.
You got to switch that thing or it's a failure.
But you're probably in some movies.
I think so.
You're not getting in any.
You get some bit parts. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You tell me George Clooney's best friend's not getting in a few things?
He's like, I'll do this. Hey, I want my buddy to have some small role. Write him something.
I feel like
there's no way that doesn't happen.
This has only worked for Adam Sandler. Like,
there's no way that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think it happens more than you think.
Adam Sandler's gotten his friends. You know how many of Meryl Streep's friends are in movies?
Big roles. But the people that you don't know, you know, it's just like, oh, come to set with me today, and then you could be one of the extras.
Okay, yeah. Being an extra is an actual part,
a small
though.
Role, maybe one line.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a line out.
You're
of
gonna
that.
Get a line. You're on the elevator, and you got one line,
dude. That's enough for me. Like, I'm stoked. I'm like really excited about this Hollywood best friend,
Mike. Where do you lean between these two? Are you on the athlete's line?
I was trying to find a real true differentiator, but I guess it does lean for what I would prefer more on the side of the celebrity. I don't think you're getting parts, but you're definitely not getting them if your friend is the famous athlete. With the celebrity, I guess there's a chance.
I mean, either one. You're either, let's say you're not obviously participating in either, but you're going to the set, you're going to the production, or you're going to the game. Which is more exciting for you?
The game.
See, for me, it's the set. What about you, Andy?
It's the game.
Okay.
But here's the thing about humans. That is annoying. Is that you're going to take these for granted really quickly.
Yes.
Like, it will be super cool to sit, you know, like, courtside, because your best friend is an athlete. And then you're going to do it like 5 or 6 times, and then you're just like, this is what I do. Because we don't ever think things are cool after we do them a few times. You ever had a meal and you're like, I could eat this every single meal?
Yeah.
And then you eat it like 4 times and you're like, I'm kind of done with it.
Oh, yeah. The first time I went to a fancy steakhouse, that was like, wow.
Why are people like
now
this?
It's just like,
it's
just a steakhouse.
It's just human nature. Here, one thing, though, famous athlete, if you are getting the good tickets all the time,
yeah,
you could then... I mean, you could turn yourself into one of the fan celebs of like,
you dress up.
Like, yeah, like every game you go, you wear the bullhorns. And it's like, oh, there's the bullhorn guy.
If this question was, you can be the world's most famous fan celebrity guy, or you could just not. I would definitely choose the not side. Like, I don't
You don't want to be that guy?
No, that when I see
you don't
those...
want to be who's the Jets guy? Fire?
No, I know the fireman guy. Yeah, but
all of those people. When I see those people, I don't think kind thoughts. I don't think I don't see those people and think like that dude's cool. I look at that guy and I'm like, oh, man.
Be starting the chants, man. J-E-T-S. That could be you.
I could do it without the stupid get up, too. People
I don't know.
When I see some super fans at these games, I'm embarrassed for them and their families.
Yeah.
And I tell myself I'm not like them, but I like sports.
Yeah.
I have to be like, is that me? Is that what I'm perceived as because I want to go to the game? Is that weirdo? I was wondering if neither was an option for this, best friends with neither might be the best case scenario.
Oh, really? No, it's not.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Well, here's what I will say. One final nuance. If you're best friends with a famous athlete, their shelf life is shorter than the Hollywood celebrity.
Fair.
So you talk about going to, like, you got maybe 10, 15 years into a career if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
A Hollywood celebrity could be a star from 20 to 80. 75.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely doing the Hollywood star. That's far more fun for me. Feel like we'd get along better. I don't want to feel...
You're best friends either way,
but
man.
I don't want to feel so body shamed by the athlete. When me and my best friend athlete walk into a restaurant, it's not just like, oh, that's the famous person. It's like, what a short, fat guy.
Oh, my gosh. We have got to... Get this guy into a psychologist or something.
Would you take any amount of pleasure after the athlete retires, slowly transforming your best friend from a 1% body physique?
Oh, man, I will ruin this guy. I will ruin
So you feel a lot better if
you're... Okay, but what, Baskin Robbins again? Come on, buddy, let's go.
You're not playing tomorrow. Come on.
You feel better next to the... kind of chiseled out of stone, perfect Hollywood actors.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the people you feel better standing next to?
Yeah, I do. They're not as superhuman. They're beautiful.
I don't know how many athletes showed up on Sexiest Men People magazine. All right.
Yeah, what if your buddy wins Sexiest Man and you don't want to be there? You don't want to be there?
My best friend is going to be a woman, so that's fine.
Okay, fine. She wins Sexiest Woman. Either way, I'm just saying, you're going to feel real inferior.
Now he's just carving a different path. Damien from the website, would you rather settle every argument with a dance battle or with a freestyle rap battle?
Ooh.
So wait, you actually...
Are we good at either of these things?
Ask yourself that question right now.
No.
I mean, this doesn't come with being...
No, it doesn't.
This is just who we are now.
I like the world where like any argument could be solved with one of these. Like, and it's formal. It's like in stone. It's the equivalent of going to a judge and having them, you know, formally decide a claim.
No,
and like, now we will hear from the defense.
Okay, so let's play this out.
The defendant has been served.
Is this actually won by a third party, an observer of the rap battle?
You don't need
No. It's not. It's the universe we've discovered can evaluate this, and a little light.
And you don't need it. If you've ever participated in a dance battle or a rap battle, you know.
Okay.
You know, and it's be honest with yourself.
I know which one of these
both
I could
parties
win.
Have to be honest. Yes.
I know which one of these I could win. Which one do you guys?
I think you can win the dance one.
You're darn right I could.
You want to know why?
Darn right.
Because I've watched Jason, when he has to dance for a second, he has three or four things he used to do in high school that he goes right
go back
to.
The class. What classics do you got
lined
up?
And the nice thing, I'm going to be spinning, I'm going to be twirling.
Yeah.
I'll do jump kicks. It's imagine Chris Farley in a dance battle. He's going to win.
So
this is not like, oh, my
Chip
ballet.
Sketch.
Yeah, this is not like, oh, what a talented technique you have. This is how you are psychotic and making me laugh.
Does the shirt immediately go off, or is that?
That's the finale, man.
Okay, but
you don't start there.
Right.
But yes, you end shirtless every time. I have ripped my shirt
and
off
that's your
on a Jumbotron. Once
and that's winning though,
and I won that Jumbotron moment.
We just took a trip to Disney World.
Okay,
and there is
speaking of
no, just let me tell my story,
sucks,
man.
I'm sorry.
And there's a one of the attractions it's a Monsters Inc. comedy thing, and it's fun. They do like they have animations, but there's people doing the voices, so it's a fully interactive thing live with the crowd.
Like
it's
a play type of thing.
Yeah, it's not pre-recorded. But then before everything happens, they do like some funny crowd work where they just say a phrase and then they pick someone in the audience and they put a spotlight on them. And they did it was like, this man has an uncontrollable urge to dance. Boom, your boy ends up on the camera. And I did not disappoint.
My man.
My kids were just,
were dying.
Oh, you turtle shirt. I was the most embarrassed.
You do the running man?
I was seated.
Oh,
I was seated.
Okay.
So
all right.
Did I do the robot? Of course I did.
Well, so you did the whole dance seated.
I did the robot. I was doing the
the rolling arms.
The wave with the arms. It was seated. It was so unbelievably embarrassing for everyone in that room. But
that,
they put me on the camera.
That
and
is awesome.
And I came through.
That is really cool. See, for
very
me.
Very funny. Surprised we didn't hear about that already.
For me, I have to jump around.
I had to block it out.
I had to jump around and that, like, I'm more of a out of the seat type of dancer, but I don't think I could do it in the seat. Mike killed it in the seat.
You're not an torso upper body dancer?
No, I'm an all legs, brother. but the nice thing is right now you are seated, Mike.
Right.
And this guy has an incredible urge to dance.
Oh, is it in my bag?
Oh, yeah. The spotlight.
Where's my music?
Give him some music, man.
This.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Oh, beautiful.
It was that. And it
got a big laugh.
It kept going.
They didn't stop it.
Oh, it's like, I am dancing. What is happening with the lights
He's
right now?
He's got a permanent spotlight.
Yeah, I kept dancing, and I'm like,
got any more moves left.
We are 5 minutes into this thing. Like, this joke has run its course.
Did you have to repeat things?
Yeah, I only have two moves.
All right, so the freestyle rap battle, the progressive terror of that is too high. I'm going to go bird dance. I mean, I dance like a bird. I'm going to have to win with that.
What do you think your win percentage will be? Over the course of your life, you're in dance battles, just general public.
20%.
I'll go 85%.
I give myself maybe 10 to 15.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah.
Very low odds.
I did 20% because I figure 1 in 5 people will be too embarrassed to try.
Okay.
if they try,
I win by
they
default.
Win.
Yeah. All right. Lily from the website. For a $25,000 prize, would you rather have to bowl a perfect 300 game or hit a hole in one on a 100-yard par 3? You get one full day of unlimited attempts in either situation. It is quite easy for me.
Yeah, this is super easy. And this is one.
It's the golf.
It has to be the golf.
I will make one over one day of hitting that many, guaranteed.
I will absolutely not. I will 100% not make. I won't do either of these.
Dad,
but
I thought you guys were going to say the bowling.
That's impossible. That's
not happening with a full day. That'll happen with a full year.
You could give me the full life. To bowl a 300 means you get
12 straight strikes, right?
12 straight strikes. That is never going to happen. And the thing
is four turkeys.
You could do this for weeks and you get 10 strikes in a row. Then you start over. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Do you understand how small a golf hole is?
I do, but I also know that just one lucky shot, one great perfect roll, one placement is all it takes to complete to the end. Like, when I bowl, I don't usually get a strike. I would say I get a strike 10% of the time. So
don't do that math.
Yeah, so
10%
it's like,
times 12 needs or 12
it will
possible
never,
strikes.
Never, ever happen. To do 12 in a row when
the
I'm
hole
an attempt.
In one will never happen.
I agree, Mike. I'm not telling you. This isn't me trying to claim I can land a plane because I can. This is me saying I have a better shot of the thing that if it happens one time, it's over and it's done. You can't do 12 in a row.
It will not happen.
If you have 100 yards, you can dial that in with one club. You will land on the green on every one of your hits, pretty much.
This dude's never seen me golf. I will only land on the green regularly if I aim not for the green.
Well, so I'm taking that one, but I did. I asked our good friend Artificial Intelligence to do the probability of throwing a perfect game if you throw strikes 10% of the time is approximately 1 times 10 to the negative 12, or 1 in a trillion.
1 in a trillion. So I'm going to just give me
but
a trillion
you, but
chances.
But that's you right now. Well, you will get better.
Not
in
like
a day?
One day.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100% in a day you'll get better.
At the end of the day, I'm 20%? Not going to be able to lift the bowling ball.
If
I'm going to be like,
twice as good at the end of the day, he's throwing it 20% of the time.
Yeah. Do the math.
You'll
it's not going to be 1 in a trillion.
I feel like we could put you on a golf course and let you throw, do whatever you want. Throw the ball. Roll the ball. You don't even need to use a golf club. All day, you're not making it in the hole.
I'm making it in the hole.
No, you're not.
I guarantee it. I believe Andy would do it.
I'll make you a bet. You give me one day, you rent out one 100-yard par 3. Now, we have a golfer in the building. Inducer's Alley, we've got the Falcon over here. The Falcon,
please,
you're a golfer.
Please tell him to be quiet.
Do you think I'm wrong?
No, that's the right choice.
Yeah, okay, so that's the right choice. Do you think I would make one in over a whole day of just hitting 100? No?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, speak louder. Second of all, I don't like you speaking, so don't speak at all.
Like,
all right.
Have you ever done, you've never done like a lock-in or anything with bowling?
Yeah, I have.
And you didn't?
Do you know how tired you're going to be? You're not going to get it by the end of the day. Your arm will fall off.
I mean, you're going to be tired golfing too.
Yeah.
No, because I'm going to nail that in the first 2 hours.
Okay. I've been... Like, I'm not a great bowler,
but I've done these things
where just all of a sudden, like I, over a course of a lock-in, I bowled like a 230 or something. I know that's a far way away from a 300, but it's like you can get in an actual fugue state with this, where each and every shot for the hole in the one is its own independent thing.
I have been
it's
in
not
that,
happening.
I have been in that state bowling, Mike, and I got like 3 strikes in a row, baby.
Nice.
I'm not close. It's not happening. I do think there I could get. I mean, my golf ball lands somewhere. My golf ball, every time I hit it, will land somewhere. And eventually it just has to land in that small little hole.
Yes, it does.
That's all it is. What do you mean? No. If my golf ball ends in that hole, it's over.
Yes, if that happens, it will never happen.
I'm not sure about that logic, Jason.
What do you mean?
I mean, the logic that if I shoot a basketball, it has to land somewhere. Eventually, it will land in the hoop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not how...
But the hole in golf is on the ground.
So you're intimidated by the fact there's 12 consecutive.
Yes, it's
okay.
The...
Okay, yeah,
yes,
that's what it is.
It's that. It's just like, I could make a hole in one. I won't, but I could. That's the difference.
I get it. No, I make so Mike. You're going bowling.
Get a 300.
Yeah, of
Mike's
these.
Going bowling. I'm going golf. Jason's golf. Going golf. Yeah. We're taking a quick break. Coming back with some life advice.
Spitwads, I don't know if any of you are like me, but I used to be a child. Certainly, I'm not anymore. But I used to do stupid things and think stupid things. Like, for instance, I literally used to look forward to losing my debit card so that I would have to change it so that subscriptions would go away that I didn't know about. That was when I was a child, and that was before technology caught up, and then I found Rocket Money. I have used Rocket Money for years and years and years before they were called Rocket Money, before they were sponsors of this podcast. It is an excellent, awesome, legitimate, amazing tool to help you find subscriptions that you don't even know you have or the ones you do, and helps you cancel it. I couldn't believe when I first started using it how many things that I was like, what did my kids sign up for that I didn't know about? That was like $3 a month. I don't see that charge. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. It is awesome. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when you're using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/ballers. That's rocketmoney.com/ballers, rocketmoney.com/ballers.
Spitballers to the rescue.
I want to figure this out, man.
I want to do it, but the
problem is I don't think there are very many. I mean, I don't know anything about golf.
You have a golf simulator in your house.
that's true, but
you could use the golf simulator.
I want real world. I want grass. I want gravity. I want none of this computer stuff. I wouldn't trust it. I want our 100-yard.
That's not very
par
far.
Par threes. No, I know it's not. Do those actually exist?
Yes.
Are those
yes.
common?
Common. Yeah, I think 100-yard par threes out there. Yeah, I'm seeing a nod from our golfer.
Andy, you and I got to look into this. We got to find a way to...
I want a day at a course. I'm going to hit one.
Yeah, we got to find a course that will give us a day at a hole.
We need like, a everyone lot of, has we're going to go need a lot us. Of golf balls.
Ooh, that's... Yeah, we
Take
we,
them from the driving range.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we will.
We're good.
I really want to do it.
According to the odds, an amateur golfer can make a hole-in-one on any given par three, 12,500 to one. That seems better than one in a trillion.
Way better.
Now, I'm not an amateur, but...
I will say that when you were reading that number, I definitely thought it was going to be way lower than
by
that.
By the way, Al says that means that would be 9 balls per minute for the entire 24 hours to hit it on average. But I'm better than it. I'm better than that. When I said I'm not an amateur, I'm much better. All right. Life advice. Ray from Patreon. My wife is an introvert, and most of my friends are extroverts.
She don't like your friends.
Whenever.
I don't know what just happened. What was the big pregnant
no,
pause?
No, I just might know Ray. Whenever we meet up with friends, they always do the arms wide hug greeting.
Okay.
I know my wife hates this, as she'd rather just wave. Well, waving would be weird. Face to face.
Just get real close.
A close wave.
Hello.
Yeah. What is the best way for a non-hugger to dodge the arm wide open awkwardness? It's a great question. There are good strategies here. I've used them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you can't dodge it.
You cannot be the reactor to the situation. You must be the initiator.
You preempt the handshake?
If you want to go handshake.
Wave.
If someone waves, they can then open their arms. That doesn't stop me from opening my arms as a greeting. The greeting has only started with a wave. It's going to conclude with a hug if I'm an extrovert.
That's the risk with the handshake. That could turn into a one-armed hug.
Exactly. At worst, it's the side hug if it starts with a handshake.
The side hug's what you have to go with. You have to make peace with the side hug.
Yeah.
If you are the person that doesn't want to be full-on hugged, you have to come in with a one arm out side hug and live with that. You can't get away with a face to
No, a face-to-face a face wave doesn't work.
I like the really up-close wave.
The other, there is one other option.
A kiss?
It's not a kiss.
Just go for it.
Ray should tell his wife there is one other option, and that is always bring too many goods to the party.
There we go.
Two bags full of things. Chips. And I brought some chips and some wine.
I got these two big sacks. Otherwise, totally.
And you do have to be holding them like this. You can't have them like, they can't just be a bottle of wine.
Oh, you've got a giant teddy bear.
There's a problem.
Under your arm.
There's a problem.
Okay.
Okay. We have, is Josh, okay, Josh is in the room. Josh, producer Josh, Papa Josh. You think he's not swinging back around once you have placed your items down?
What do you think, Ray? You think Ray's a hugger? Do you think that huggers and non-huggers get married?
I don't know that. I don't know that we will ever know. Ray, you got to tell your friends.
That is another option.
Like, that one's not awkward at all. Talk to your friends. Hey, my wife's not really into hugs.
Oh, you can't put the wife under the bus. This is you. Don't you dare hug my wife. You dare.
Wait,
don't you dare hug
now
my wife.
You're putting a fracture into your relationship with your friends.
No, I'm support. I'm saying, like, this is, I get the physical contact, not you.
Yeah, you know what?
That's inappropriate.
You're
friend.
Out the friend group.
If I tell you you can't hug my wife, I'm out your friend group?
If you tell all your friends that, next thing you know, you're going to see photos on Instagram with all your buddies out having a great time going, wait.
Where was my invite?
No one told me about this. They'll be like, yeah, we'll catch you next time. Tomorrow, more pictures.
Okay. See, I just don't.
Just tell your friends.
Can it be wearable? Can there be a wearable? Is there something you can wear on your,
like a sign that says don't hug me?
I can't think of something, but like spikes. You know what I mean? Like, you got a real spiky shirt. You don't want to hug this. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, the way that you have your hands but eventually you're going to put something down.
Like a dog choker?
Like a porcupine outfit?
Something that would...
like from Hot Topic.
Stop you from hugging me because physically it's awkward or uncomfortable.
If you are in a wheelchair, is it less likely to hug
you?
Oh,
you're not doing a full arms
open hug. That's a bend down
hug,
right?
You're still getting a side hug.
You're getting a shoulder pat.
You are not...
That one got... Sweetie...
Because it's so demeaning.
Well, it's not a pat on the top of the head.
Yeah, that's way more demeaning.
That's the worst one. I would shoulder hug a person
in
a wheelchair.
They're going to get a hug.
They're not getting a hug.
Yes, they...
I don't think...
not giving a full-on hug to a wheelchair.
I'm not either. It's too awkward of a position.
It's too awkward for the body, the hugger.
Nothing against the person in a wheelchair. It's a physical impracticality to give a full hug to someone in a wheelchair.
How does a bunch of wheelchair people greet each other at a party?
High fives. That's it, right?
Want to know.
Maybe that's the appropriate time to wave.
You two can sit in this hole by yourself.
This is not a hole.
This is just logic.
You've just left the building. We're in logic building. There's no way. I mean, it's so awkward because of the levels.
Yeah, it's a level issue.
Especially, I mean, you're tall, Mike. That should be even bigger.
Now, I'm thinking about it in terms of like...
I'm not part of it.
If like my nephew comes in to give me a hug and he's like 6 or 7, he can hug... Like, you can still hug a kid standing there, and it works, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even though you're standing up. You don't have to go bend down, but you don't have those kind of hugs with people in wheelchairs.
Why?
Because
you could hug.
You can't, because they're distant.
Can you give
distance.
A surprise hug from, like, back behind the wheelchair person?
Yeah, I mean, that you'd have to come up from behind, and that just doesn't
work.
They're
going to feel like you're under attack then.
Yeah, that's why you don't do it. This is
the key is a wheelchair, Ray.
Yeah, I think so, right? Just... problem solved.
Break your wife's legs and help her out of this situation.
I don't think she could just pretend. I don't think you need to actually break the wife's legs, Andy.
Wait, if you're on crutches, no one's giving you a hug either, right?
I'd give a hug.
Not if they're facing outward.
If the crutches are facing outward?
In front of you.
No, yes, I wouldn't.
Not
also,
if
they're holding
spinning in circles.
If they're holding a gun. And pointing it at you.
Don't you dare.
I will not hug them.
All right. I think we offered tons of good practical advice.
There's at least some options.
Liz from the website needs life advice as well. I'm surprised that two people need help today.
Everyone needs a little help.
I don't handle flying very well, and the only thing that brings me comfort is sitting near the window.
Oh, no.
That's my preference, by the way. On my last flight, I was asked to trade seats with a woman so she could sit next to her husband and kid. As I looked, she was in the middle seat a few rows back.
No. A middle is asking to trade?
How do you politely refuse without feeling terrible about yourself? And I did this.
You traded.
But did you feel terrible
in
about yourself?
Or you traded out?
I didn't trade.
You were asked. You were propositioned.
I said no.
Yes, because you should say no.
I was put in the position where I was directly. It was we were flying to Hawaii, and it was just two seats.
Yeah.
And then,
they asked for you to change on a flight to Hawaii.
Yeah. It was two seats.
No.
And then there were two in the middle and two on the side. So there's two, two, two. And I'm on the window, and then the woman is next to me, and then her husband is one more over. So she wanted me to move to an interior aisle.
No, no.
And I felt
absolutely
bad.
Absolutely
not. But I said a no.
How did you do it? Did you just say no and turn your back on her, or did you make an excuse? Did you say, I'm sorry, I need the window?
I said I'm more comfortable at the window. I'm sorry. That's why I bought this seat.
That's all you have to say. Look.
And to be honest, they messed up.
100%. It's on them.
Yeah. They messed
Get
it up.
Get your ticket sooner. Like, there are definitely going to be times where if it is a child by themselves and a parent, okay, you can get me on the heartstrings with that. But in this situation, they said that it was one of the parents was there, and it would with the
kid's not alone.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Look, I was properly prepared, and I got the seat that I wanted to have. I am not giving it up to be really uncomfortable because you couldn't book your flight.
I wonder what Liz did.
Like for like is always a yes. Is always
correct.
If I need to. Change
window
from
for window,
window to
yeah.
window, aisle to
oh,
aisle.
Yeah, so you can say, that's no problem.
I've seen people refuse that in person. I'm like, why?
It's a little strange.
Like just move.
Well, what if you have a thing with your neck where you can only sleep to the left and you don't want to go over to the right?
You shouldn't
side?
Be on this flight. Then. You should be a chiropractor. That's a totally different issue. But the audacity to me to even ask. If you are in a middle seat, don't you dare. You shouldn't be allowed to talk.
You sit in your seat of shame.
You don't talk to a window, okay? Not unless it's your relative who's on that flight with you. You sit in that seat of shame because that's what you deserve. That's what you got at your own fault. And a window is a shameful, or a middle is a shameful experience. I've sat in the middle before.
Yeah.
It was shameful.
You didn't talk at
it. No, I sat in it.
Now, I do have an important question that's been brought up. What if it's a like-for-like trade, but the passenger you're going to end up sitting by is not like-for-like?
Oh, that's not like-for-like. Oh, man. But the worst part about that is you have to go takesy-backsies on that.
Because as you're walking over?
You don't know yet.
You know what? Just kidding?
Yeah, I mean, like, let's say they're a couple aisles ahead of you, and they're like, oh, I've got the window up there, and my husband's here. Can I sit by you? And you're like, yeah. And then you go, and you walk up there, and then it's like, oh. And then you go back and go, I'm sorry.
So when you say, it slipped my mind, but I can't do that. I just forgot.
I just forgot
to refuse earlier.
No, you just go back and you say, the stewardess said I got to stay in my seat.
Oh, yeah, that's the move.
The flight attendant was like,
you got to sit where you're assigned seating.
I checked my ticket is 7A.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Excuse me, sir. No.
Yeah, get out. Get out of the seat. You go sit in your half seat.
Your half seat. All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's full class warfare on a plane.
What sucks is
middles versus everybody.
It's what you said. You said the audacity. I said no.
How was the rest of the
flight?
But
I felt bad for a little while.
Yeah. How?
For a little while.
Not
for
the whole
time.
On a
very long flight.
On a long flight. I only felt bad for 20 minutes.
So the question here is, so how do you politely refuse without feeling terrible about yourself? Now, we can tell you just don't.
Do not act like you speak the language that they speak.
No.
Where
were you going to go,
then Jay? You can't order drinks. You know what I mean?
You need to not feel bad. You need to make them feel bad that they would even ask you to do this.
Man.
How dare you?
Yes.
Whoa!
Hit him with that.
Hit
and
him
just be like, whoa. Like,
are you joking? You can't be serious.
Yeah, you got to make them feel bad. Yeah. You put them in their place.
Be like, we can't do that. It just keeps saying, we can't do that.
Yes, it is absolute. That's the special sauce right
on
there.
On this plane?
We can't do that. You say we as a singular. You say, we can't do that.
I'm bringing them in.
Oh, I see.
Oh, absolutely. They're part of this. You know, lady next to you is asking. You said, we can't do that. I'm so sorry.
We don't break the rules.
Would you mind switching? We just can't.
We can't do that.
We can't do that. I'm sorry. We can't. We can't.
Is it rude to?
Could you just say you can't do that?
Is it rude to just put the AirPods in and then say you can't hear?
Now I will say that that is a pro move. If you're a window, so Liz, you don't handle flying well, and the only thing that brings you comfort is sitting next to the window. Next time you get on that flight. You get in your seat, you put them cans on, and you stare out that window.
There is no person more intimidating on a flight than Mike Wright.
Oh, my gosh. He gets on a plane.
Mike has tattoo-covered arms. He is a, you know, he's a strong, big man with a big beard, with a grumpy
resting,
face.
Angry face.
And then he puts his cans on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you this right now. There are at least 10 people in the life of Mike Wright that have held their bathroom break on a plane because they probably didn't want to interrupt Mike Wright and try to get by. There are people that might have busted kidneys because they weren't willing to awaken Mike. And Mike also does he closes his eyes.
Because Mike's the aisle. Mike and I are both aisle flyers.
You think I don't know what I'm doing?
Yeah, no.
You shut the thing down.
Yeah. I will have none of this on the airplane.
If the plane,
I'm in my seat.
If the plane crashed and someone needed help getting off the plane, they would not interrupt Mike and what he was doing to ask for help.
I don't know. Have we discussed the exit row? The whole...
I don't know if we
have
or not.
You have to stay in the exit row, right?
No.
Yeah, wink.
I'm saying like this whole thing where the plane... Like if, when you're in the exit row and you're getting on, or it's either when you're boarding the plane or on the plane, someone will check in and be like, now you're in the exit row.
Yeah, do you accept the
responsibility? Do you accept the response? And everyone's like, yeah. Do you have to go to court or something?
No.
They're like, we found out that the person in the exit row was actually not very helpful.
Yeah.
It's for them.
They said yes. We have video. They said yes.
Get out of here.
It's for the airline to be able to say when no one could get off the plane, no, we checked.
Yeah,
He
said he trained for this.
We've talked about this before,
he said
but
yes.
This still upsets me.
Matt from the website has one more life advice question for us. My girlfriend is a twin, and for the life of me, I cannot tell her apart from her sister.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
I know she expects me to know the difference, but I honestly don't.
Magic marker.
How do I go about greeting her or them without making the terrible mistake of thinking her sister is her?
No, I'm telling you, it's a magic marker.
What are you doing with the marker?
So I'm palming it, right? You don't know I've got a marker.
Uh-huh.
You give your sweetie a hug or a kiss, and you just put a little mark on her neck.
But that'll wash off.
You got to do it every couple days. Every couple days, you just give her a little mark right on the neck, and then you know.
Can you suggest a new hairstyle?
So that is clutch. I have identical twin nephews that I've never been able to tell them apart. I don't see them super often. And so when I see them, I mean, I don't even try. I don't even try because it's impossible.
Hit them with the big dog?
And they just came.
What's
and
up,
one
big
of them
dog?
Has long hair and one of them has short hair now.
Oh,
I was like,
which one's which?
Dude, that's brilliant. And the dad was like, yeah, it's really helpful. The dad was like, we usually dress them. Well, one is usually in blue, one is usually in green, but that's just pro move.
That is, this whole conversation is very comforting to me because I think I've lived most of my life thinking that I'm the one that can't tell the difference between twins.
They're identical.
And other people can.
No, they can't. They're lying.
And I'd have heard that
sometimes
like,
you can.
When you take twins home from the hospital, like, it is actually a thing. You can confuse them and not call them the right name. And so they say they'll like, put nail polish on the toes. But it's like...
magic marker.
Yeah. I was going to go with a secret handshake.
But that'll give it away that you are getting it wrong.
Yeah, you can't give it away.
What? No. What? You go up, to, like, if you're greeting them both at the exact same time, you walk up and you start doing the secret handshake, and you see
to which one, Mike?
You initiate, and you
to
see
which one. Your secret handshake is just broad and in general, like it starts with your hand in the sky.
Yes, all handshakes start with the original
to
position
a
of
person
a
to a person.
Yes,
I don't
which
just walk,
person is
I don't
what
walk up
it.
To two people and put my hand in the middle and say who wants to shake it.
No, but I go up to one person and judging by how they start shaking my hand, I'll know right away.
He's like, "Hi, girlfriend. Here's my firm, hearty handshake."
Normally, you greet a girlfriend with a kiss.
So, hold on. The handshake, but putting a marker.
Marker is the answer. It's like, oh, these are so funny. Dude, I'm telling you,
now,
Matt, this is the answer.
Just give them a precious piece of jewelry they'll never take off.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good answer. It's got to be a necklace.
Or a ring. A ring would probably be better.
A ring would be better.
Because I think the necklace, even a precious necklace comes off sometimes. But I don't think a precious ring does.
Yeah, but hands can be in pockets.
That's true. That's true. It's a precious monocle. If you love me, you'll always use your monocle.
Honey, you ever thought of getting a grill? A really nice golden blinged
out
grill?
Oh, you could chip her tooth.
Well, I would rather
just nicely,
use magic marker
nicely.
On her neck.
I mean, you act like you have now turned the magic marker on the neck into a reasonable answer.
It is a
you're
reasonable
putting,
answer.
You're marking her neck with a marker.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you got to go full throat tattoo?
Well,
I don't think
probably not.
Go
like, be like, hey, let's go get matching throat tattoos, and then you go first. And then when it's my turn, you're like, oh, I can't get it right. Come now. On.
Somebody has done that before. Somebody out there has had a pledge to get neck tattoos with their friend, chickened out after the first person got them. And there's nothing you can do. You can't force a tattoo.
That's a great piece of life advice. If you ever go into a tattoo parlor
go second.
With any
same
kind of,
time.
With any group of friends, yeah, it's either the same time or you go second.
Yeah. No, that's pro tip.
I still think that, you know. All right. Yeah, we've got ideas. Yeah. I'm going to leave it there. Quick break, back with the draft.
Today's show is brought to you by your friends over at Masterclass. On this podcast, we like a few things. We like having a good time. And strange enough, we actually like learning things. And despite us believing we're experts in most things, there's some areas that we aren't actually an expert. And that's where Masterclass comes into the picture, because these are actual experts. We're talking the top experts in their fields, and they are there for you to learn. Learning is incredible, just getting better, moving forward in life, and why not learn with some experts? With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. Build your confidence through humor with comedic icon Kevin Hart. Use improv to overcome your fears with Amy Poehler. Or turn your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart. Or maybe you're like me, you just really are fascinated by science and outer space. Boom. Chris Hadfield, legendary astronaut, is here to teach you about science and space exploration. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/ballers. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/ballers. Masterclass.com/ballers.
The Spitballers Draft.
Well, Jason, surprise, we are drafting gifts to give your enemies' kids on today's show.
Or I am prepared
are
weeks
we?
On this.
No, so we, you've got an enemy, and you're going to give their kid a gift, and it's given with the intention of causing havoc for your enemy.
Yeah.
And so?
It's a real gift, but they're not going to like it.
So they're going to get my number one pick, I'm going to have to go with it. It showing up at their door for my enemy's kids. It's a brand new, high-end, loud drum kit.
Yeah.
They're all loud.
It's a drum kit. It's not one of the electronic ones you can plug
in. Acoustic drum set.
Acoustic drum set. Yeah,
It's the 101. That was what I scattered last week when we were supposed to do this.
Oh, were you going to take it?
I was going to take a drum kit.
Okay. All right, Mike, you're up.
Extra cymbals on that kit.
Yeah.
Drum kit of all cymbals.
Yes, that's right.
All right. I am going to introduce this child into, look, as you get older, you want to be taking care of yourself and you want to smell good.
Oh.
I'm going to give this kid big can of Axe body spray.
Oh, yes.
That's funny. Yeah, they'll overuse that a little bit.
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah, you put something. Kids and aerosols are they're just cool anyways, right? I think that's the whole reason Banaca was popular with kids is just the container. So, yeah, Axe body spray house. Nice.
That entire house will be smelling of just.
Yeah.
Just a smarmy man for at least a couple days.
That's funny. Axe body spray. Very nice.
All right, so I am up. I'm going to give the gift that you can't get rid of. And that is a bearded dragon. It's a bearded dragon. You're going to you got to clean this thing's poop. You got to try to keep it alive. You got to, it does nothing. It gives nothing back. You can't get rid of it. Man, I hate our bearded dragons.
He still haven't got rid of it.
I genuinely thought you were going to say Pepper.
my dog. No, I was able to get rid of Pepper. So
but you still have the bearded dragon.
Yeah, I will have it until it dies.
Has he eaten?
I got him to eat a worm the other day.
Nice.
He is.
This is your bearded dragon
much. Oh, this is my bearded dragon.
If you weren't around, the dragon dies.
I don't think it can, man. I really don't. We've tested
it's
that.
It's an immortal?
It's just, it doesn't need to eat, that's for sure. It's anorexic or something. It's got its own issues. All right, I am back
bearded
up.
Bearded dragon.
I'm going to give this kid exactly what he wants. When he opens this, he's going to love it. He's going to be thrilled. But I can't stand when my kid gets anything like this. I am getting $100 worth of candy. I am open a box of sugar,
oh,
baby.
Oh my gosh.
Just candy, chocolate, gummies.
Dude, it's the worst.
Just so much sugar, so much candy, have fun, little squirt. Go hog wild. Enjoy yourself, man. This is your birthday.
That is a gift for your enemies.
Yeah.
Which is so strange because all the grandparents seem to do that.
Yes, but we are enemies to grandparents, I've learned.
Grandparents, extended family, they just buy your kid candy. And your kid knows. Your kids forget tons of things. What they do not forget is an itemized list of the candy that they received on Easter Sunday. I know every single piece that I have and what piece I have eaten, and they're in every day. How about I have some of that candy?
Yeah, no, candy.
It's the worst.
Kids really like to receive it, and it's a really mean thing for the parents. All right, Mike, you're back up.
All right, so I have the Axe body spray, and we're going to go next with, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Do you guys remember that the electronic fish that sings?
The bass. Yeah.
The bass, but it's like motion detected.
Yeah, and every time you walk by.
It just sings?
Yeah.
Why did that thing exist? Why did that happen?
Somebody's
as a
millionaire
gag.
Because of that. Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Billy Bass. Yeah, that's the one.
Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Does it say what he would sing?
Two songs. Take Me to the River.
That's right.
Take me to the river.
And then Hunting, Fishing, and Loving Every Day.
Oh,
those are the two songs.
That's a good one.
Just be like, man, I can't wait to be back and see this on
three
your wall.
Stars on Amazon. How dare you?
It's probably 2.5 because it's 1 stars and 5 stars, depending on who bought it versus who received it.
There's somebody in a really nice house somewhere, and they go, what did you do for a living? And he said, I invented Big Mouth Billy Bass.
Do you think that person's really nice home beautiful.
Oh, it has one up
mansion.
In it?
Oh, it's all over.
Oh yeah.
Every room just has a dozen.
Take
of
me to the river.
All right. Back to me.
Yep.
All right. So I've got the drum set. And look, you're giving it to your enemy's kids. The kids don't own the house. Your enemy owns the house.
Right.
Kids live in the house. Kids cause problems in the house, mm-hmm. which is why I'm giving this child, I'm giving him a glitter bomb.
Oh, dude, that was my next pick.
Was it really?
Yeah. My next pick was a glitter gift set.
Yeah, a glitter bomb is perfect because the kid's going to think it's amazing and cool. The kid might not have any problem with what happens when you open it up. But a glitter bomb, that is my number two pick. Have fun, enemy. And then, why not? Why not? You know, sometimes you get a gift and you don't really want to spend up. You don't want to spend the money. I'm spending up.
Oh, that's very nice.
I'm gonna take my savings and I'm going to buy the best karaoke machine that has ever existed.
Yeah, that with the drums.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a blast.
Use them together. I'm going karaoke
machine.
Get
your friends over.
Yeah,
just
this
have
is
a party.
When you turn it on, you can't turn it down enough. So that's the plan. Mike, you have Axe body spray and a singing bass plaque.
That's Billy.
Yeah, Billy Bass. And you got another pick. And it ain't a glitter bomb.
Yeah. I really wanted to get that one. But I am going to buy the young chap. Look, in these times, right, we all want to find different ways to save money. And taking care of yourself. What if there was a self haircutting situation for old young Billy Bob over there? I'd be like, hey, bro, just take care of your hair.
So you're just getting him a
like a barber set?
Yeah, some type of haircutting. Maybe a beard trimmer.
Yeah, that's good. That's like not going to end well.
I mean, it's a little more of an attack on the child, but.
Well, I got a better attack on the child.
Okay.
I'm going right after this kid. And, you know, because.
This poor kid.
Well, my enemy loves him. And so, you know, the friend of my enemy is my enemy. Wait, is that right?
The friend of your enemy.
The friend of my enemy would be my enemy.
I don't know, man. I'm so confused.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend is actually.
Yes, it. Correct. So the friend of my enemy
is my enemy. Oh, my goodness. It all works
the
out.
The logic is perfect.
All right. What are you getting this poor child?
This poor child is going to get a gift that they are going to love until the inevitable. I'm getting him a pogo stick. Yeah, baby.
Your heart trying
I'm
to
getting
hurt
him a
the
hospital
kid?
Trip. Look.
getting your enemy a hospital bill.
Hospital bill is what I'm getting them. Yeah, pogo stick in parentheses hospital bill. That's congratulations.
Those are pretty dangerous,
Billy. You maybe you get some crutches too, but I'm only buying the pogo stick. Way cheaper for me, not for my enemy.
You're very cruel.
What are you talking
Poor
about?
Poor kid.
Kid's going to love getting a pogo stick.
My kid's jamming out on the drums. He's loving his life.
It's an active gift. It's about health.
Get out there and get healthy. Maybe you'll become like some halftime show.
Play 60.
Some pogo stick champion.
All right. And then the last thing, this has kind of gone out of fashion a little bit. I'm hoping to bring it back with this child. A couple years ago, this was the rage. This was all the rage. My daughter was so into it. Every kid was so into it.
Wait.
And
it's gone now?
It's not as popular. It was wildly popular. I am getting this kid a DIY slime.
Slime.
Kit.
Yes.
Slime. Ruins things like slime.
Why does every kid have to have a slime face?
I don't know, but slime is like you play with it, right? You stretch it. It's cool. You drop it on the table.
Oh,
it cleans right up. Everything is fine. There are some materials. There are some things. You get it on this couch or this shirt or something. I don't care what you do. You can't burn it off. That slime is now a chemical part of that new object, and it will create problems, make messes, and ruin objects.
It sounds like a problem. So you went with Bearded Dragon. way too much candy, a pogo stick slash hospital bill, and a do-it-yourself slime kit.
And, yes.
And the thing about the slime is it now became a thing where it's, okay, I make slime. You're like, okay, what are you going to do with that? Nothing. I'm going to make more slime now.
Yeah.
This is all we do.
Just jarring slime. That's all I'm
the
doing.
Playing with slime is making more slime. When I was a kid, it came in a little plastic bucket, and we made it fart.
Yeah, that's all you did.
For 10 minutes, and you were done with it.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I don't need this anymore.
What do we have? We had Silly Putty.
Silly
Putty. Is that still a thing?
I'm sure it still exists, which is awesome.
Went out with newspapers.
Yeah, it feels like it. Oh, yeah,
I mean, that was half what you did, right?
Yeah. You like put it on newspaper, and you peel it off, and the ink comes off.
Mike has Axe body spray, a singing bass plaque, and a haircutting clippers.
And I will be jumping in here with I was trying to think of something that could be noise pollution as well to go along with Andy's drums. And I think it's got to be the bagpipes. Because
the bagpipes.
Oh, like, man. Here's the thing. The bagpipes, at their best, still sound.
That's awful.
Still sound a bit like a dying cat. I'm not saying I have not been like, hey, sweet, some bagpipes. That sounds good over this. But in general, if you're a really good bagpipe player, it's not the best. Learning how to play the bagpipes, it's the worst.
Okay. That's a great pick. It wasn't on my list. It should have been. I'm going to close out my list with a talking parrot.
Oh, good.
The kid will love it.
Talk about a thing that'll never die. Those things live like 80
years.
Yeah,
they do,
years.
Right? They live a long
time.
They
usually outlive you.
And they can repeat what mom and dad said in private. That's the scariest part.
What are you, a parrot or a rat?
Swish.
All right. What about the, that's the end of our draft. I had the drum kit, glitter bomb, karaoke machine, and the talking parrot. What were some of your things on the list? I had a vuvuzela.
Yeah, I was
vuvuzela.
I was going vuvuzela. Didgeridoo, which yours is better.
I couldn't figure out how to get it exactly because I think you only have them for toddlers, but squeaky shoes.
That's funny. Pack of whistles.
Kinetic sand.
Problems.
Yeah. Well, it just it gets problems. Everywhere.
Yeah, it does.
If you don't have a home base for it.
And I joke about the bearded dragon. The way worse gift. I got the bearded dragon because I have to live through it. But if you get any kind of
gerbil hamster,
hamster, ferret, any one of those things, they smell so bad.
Oh, ferret would have been good.
Oh, ferrets are the worst.
Those things are just, that's a smell. You know,
it doesn't.
It
come
only
out.
Smells like a ferret.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
What did we learn today?
Wait, Josh is coming in defense of ferrets. What are
you doing?
Well,
the animal might be awesome, but its smells are not awesome.
Yeah, there's no one that likes the smell of a ferret.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be fun to watch a ferret.
Today,
and now Al Borland loves ferrets too.
What
Look,
are,
they
what
smell
is happening?
So bad.
I'm gonna get you a ferret.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on. Owl. For you two that love ferrets, how many ferrets you got, Josh?
I don't have any anymore.
Okay, how many ferrets
three.
You got, Al?
Same. We had two
zero
growing
ferrets,
up, but
okay.
I've got zero now.
Wait, you love them so much to not have any.
You had ferrets when you were children?
I did. He said he had three. I had two.
Had them as an adult.
You purchased it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm telling you right now, either of you want to take me up on this, I will buy you a ferret.
Yeah. Like you love ferrets.
I will buy you a ferret.
You loved it so much as a child. Think of all the memories that you made.
Would either one of you like me to buy you
a ferret?
Free ferret.
You're depriving your child
of a free ferret.
Right now,
ferret.
I'm being you know I'm honest. You know I mean this. I will buy you a ferret right now if you want one.
Or
Papa Josh.
Are they not as cool as you thought?
Your answer. Would you like to buy a ferret?
Like to receive a gift?
Right to receive it. Put it on Deucer's Alley Cam.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right. Papa Josh, would you like to a free ferret purchased by me?
No.
Okay. Owl?
I just got a new dog, so we're,
so
gonna,
you would,
we're good right now.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Is outstanding, Jason. Well done.
Thank you.
What I learned today is that both those guys are liars about ferrets, and we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us on the Spitballers, where we all hate ferrets equally. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.